Okay. So, are you tall enough?
It's the very tippy top
oh, okay, back
yeah.
there.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can get that.
Why, sure enough, it's the tippy top. So I'll start what I was going to say. You know that God called the people of Israel the tippy top among the nations. So I'm sure it's there somewhere. As Sharna picks out the verses, I'm going to ask you, since they're not in there, to take a quick look on page 158, which we already said in English today. It was the one English part we did in Shacharit. And it says, and we read it already, I'll just read it back to you on 158 at the top, it's in every Shacharit. Adonai our God, you redeemed us from Egypt and freed us from the house of bondage, and the firstborn you slayed, theirs you slayed, ours you redeemed. You split the sea, you drowned the wicked, you rescued your cherished ones. The waters engulfed their oppressors, not one of them survived. Then your beloved sang in praise, acclaiming God for all that had occurred. This beloved people offered songs of gratitude and hymns of praise and blessings to the sovereign ever-living God, who is transcendent, powerful, and awe-inspiring. And we read the rest. That beloved is the beloved of Shir HaShirim. So you ask, why are we reading Shir HaShirim on Pesach? And I'll say a little bit more about it to introduce Yisker, but that's the key. The key is, what is occurring between the people Israel and Adonai at the crossing of the sea? Did you find it yet?
No,
keep going. Okay, I'll keep going. Step two of my proof. We are in the counting of the Omer. We've already started on the second Seder. And we're in the 50 steps toward Shavuot. For the rabbis, this was a mystical journey, not merely an agricultural journey or a time journey. And in the period that we're in at this counting of the Omer, we are passing through the mystical state of Hod, of one of the 10 Sfirot. And Hod is the sphere of gratitude. The rabbis asked, here we are, so in the 50 steps, we're at the step of the holiness of gratitude and the special matrix of Adonai's energies. And the rabbis asked, are we worthy of gratitude at this time? The Ishbitzer Rebbe of Chernobyl used to teach a midrash that went like this. The Israelites are at the sea. And are they grateful? We sing Dayenu and we say, if only we got to the sea and those waters didn't part, we would have been grateful. But that's an elevated spirituality and not the one of the Torah. Were the people grateful to be at the sea and not have it part? They weren't. The rabbis asked the question, but here we're finishing Passover, we're trying to achieve, we have to transcend the state of gratitude, but were we even in the state of gratitude? And it seemed like in the march between Passover, the liberation, the Pesach, and getting to Mount Sinai for Shavuot, it seemed like we did not have gratitude. And we, even at the sea, and even after the sea, we had the issue of we were complaining about the water. We immediately quarrel with God before we ever get to Sinai. And we seem to always say we want to go back. We want to go back to oppression. So the rabbis say, boy, this journey, it doesn't seem to be gratitude, and we're supposed to be right now spiritually in that state of gratitude. And so they have the story, this legend, this midrash, that the sea had a power. They go back to Genesis. In Genesis, it seems like the waters were already there, and there's ancient legends that the water has not its own God, but its own mystical power. And they said, when God told the sea to part, because they said, you split the sea, you drowned the wicked, and you did it for your beloved, that the sea said back to God, who am I doing this for? And God said, for those people who are waiting at the edge. And the sea said, oh, and who are these people? And God said, they're my beloved. And the sea said, great, let me take a look. And the sea saw what? This dirty, downtrodden, broken people who were complaining and wanted to go back to slavery. And the sea said, that's your beloved? That's the people, you know, that's the grateful people that we're going to do this tremendous miracle for? That's your instructions? And God said, you don't see the people like I see those people. And God gave the sea a vision of seeing the beloved like Shir HaShirim, as the beloved. And saw the people in not beautiful clothing and well-shaved and well-fed, but grateful. Saw a vision of the people as returning the love to God with passing through hold, passing through, it comes with the same root as the word todah, passing through a gratitude and, can't possibly wait for the marriage, can't possibly wait for Sinai, can't possibly wait to be wedded to this God for their destiny, for their future. And that is the Shir HaShirim. They can't wait to be together. Shlomo Carlebach told a story. He swore, Reb Shlomo swore it was true. And there are many stories, so I believe it. And it's about Auschwitz. There was a young man, I forget the town he was from, and he was betrothed to a young woman. And she was a very, very beautiful young woman. They had met from afar and in the family, in the places where you meet with relatives. And then the Nazis came to the town and they were deported to Auschwitz. At Auschwitz, the men and the women were separated, and they could arrange sometimes to be at the fences with the landmines and everything in between to see each other from afar. For almost 2 years, they would only see each other from afar and try to send messages if they could. They said they at times could send food to each other. And that's the relationship they had. Miraculously, they lived. And when Auschwitz was liberated and the Red Cross came, they ran to each other, took each other's hands, and they found a room, or he said it was a house, but it was a place to be private. And it's probably in one of the Nazi barracks or just outside. It was the first time they'd ever been alone together. And they started kissing and things like that. It's like Shir HaShirim, right? It wasn't so modest. And they were in each other's arms and they were kissing, and they saw that there was a mirror in the room. And they went up to the mirror to, make themselves a little prettier for their beloved. They had not seen a mirror in the entire period of their imprisonment in Auschwitz. And so they were broken by what they saw, right? The man was the first time he'd ever seen himself without payas and seen himself completely shaven. They were, of course, terribly, terribly gaunt. She had lost almost all of her teeth, and she had lost, her head was shaven, so they were bald. And, they looked 95 years old, even though they were in their early 20s. And they moved back from each other out of shame. And he said to her, you've never looked so beautiful. And they reunited in love. Reb Shlomo used to teach that on this day because of Shir HaShirim, gratitude, and Yisker coming up in just a moment as we head in, which is that God sees our souls. And even when the people were complaining, God saw what was about to happen with Miriam singing the song of the sea and the people singing Micha Mocha. This intimate celebration of love that was about to happen, but no one would have ever believed it. But God saw it in us. So God saw, you've never been so beautiful at the edge of the sea. What's the water seeing? The water, curiously, like a mirror. When we go to Yisker, and some of us remember our spouses and those we loved, I think that we are both the mirror and also God. Our job in the coming moments when the ark is opened is to remember our beloved and to see them in both their physical outer form. No one's perfect. We don't have to remember. They're not all saints. And we can remember their rough edges. But where we have a place to see like God, let us practice forgiveness of those imperfections and see the beautiful, holy person within. For a grandparent, a parent, God forbid, a child, a brother, a sister, a friend. Let's see as God sees the beloved, the holy, grateful, wonderful, pure soul within. That's our job in Yisker. We have a song or two, and we'll head right in.
So this is from chapter 8. And a friend of mine, when she got married, she wanted me to sing this song when she walked around her groom 7 times. And this is actually Ofra Chaza sang this song. So forgive me, I don't sound like Ofra Chaza. But it's the words are, "Let me be a seal upon your heart, like the seal upon your hand. For love is fierce as death, passion is mighty as Sheol. Its darts are darts of fire, a blazing flame. Vast floods cannot quench love, nor rivers drown it. If a man offered all his wealth for love, he would be laughed to scorn." So it's in chapter 8, verses 6. Simeni kachotam al libecha. Simeni kachotam al zroacha. Ki azaka mavet ahava. Ki azaka mavet ahava. Kasha ki shol kina. Rishafeha rishfeesh. Maim rabim lo yochlu lechavot et ahava. Unharot lo yeshafuha. Im yiten ish et kol hon beito be'ahava boz yavuzu la. Simeni kachotam al libecha. Simeni kachotam al zroecha. Ki azaka mavet ahava. Ki azaka mavet ahava. Kasha ki shol kina. Reshafe